You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off.
The election is over. Hallelujah. We are on to being a little bit closer to the 2022 elections, which I love. I love being over that hump. And we had some great results in the elections. We also had some not so great results in the elections. And that, ladies, is what I'd like to talk about with both of you today. I'd like to get your take on what happened in the election and your thoughts about it. And if there were any surprises that you thought. Jean, what do you think?
Well, I was thrilled. Obviously, I think that it really showed a temperature of, especially because it's such a blue area, New Jersey, Virginia. So to have these Republican wins are really an indication that people were crossing the line to come out against the Democrat failures in these last 10 months of the Biden administration. So I think it's a very good sign that sanity prevails. And the one thing that I thought was very interesting, since you asked, is that after, let me see if I can pronounce his name correctly, Jack Ciattarelli, the New Jersey governor, and Youngkin's win, they all got together on Capitol Hill to talk about how to replicate that success across the country. So 30 of the GOP candidates got together. So it didn't go without it really sending up a flag that we've got a winning protocol here to be able to push these policy issues and in a winning campaign. So I think the GOP is sitting up and taking notice. They've been validated that we're on the right track. And I think it's full steam ahead towards 2020. Don't you agree?
Oh, I agree. I definitely agree. What I found interesting about the results was that it was definitely a clear signal. It was a wake-up call to the Democrats for sure. But I see it that way, and I think we all see it that way, but I don't think the Democrats see it that way. It seems to me that the Democrats are still digging their heels in, and they're sticking with their agenda, and they're pushing even harder. And I don't know where they think that's going to get them, because this was a resounding victory. It was a slap in the face to all of these policies that they have been pushing. I think people are finally starting to see that they are being controlled, or at least the Democrats are trying to control the people. That's what it appears. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure why the Democrats are continuing to dig their feet in. Why aren't they pushing back a little bit and saying, wait a second, we need to go a little bit more to the center here, but they're not. And I can't understand what the thinking is behind that.
Yeah, there's not a lot of thinking behind that, but I'd like to hear Jean's take on that. But I really was actually disappointed in the race between the New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy and the Republican Jack Ciattarelli, because it was so close. We were almost there, and it just was just a nail biter up until the end there. And I don't think that Jack Ciattarelli has conceded yet.
He's not.
Asking for a recount on that.
Yes, I just read the latest on that. There's 60,000 to 7,000 provisional ballots still to be counted. And today is the final mail-in ballot day. So right now we're looking at a 2.6. And if they get to a margin of 1%, they'll probably do a recall. Interestingly enough, they've got seven. These are the parameters in New Jersey. 17 days to request a recount. They estimate the cost of that to be about $1 million. So the requester has to pay. So Ciattarelli is already looking into using what's left of his campaign money to position himself to be able to do a recount. And I guess he submitted something saying, can we continue fundraising efforts in order to pay for that? But there's also an interesting stipulation that they have 10 voters can request a recount. I guess they have to be able to come up with the money, but that's not very many for a state as populated as New Jersey. Boy, if that was California, they'd be recounting every election we ever had, right? If only 10 vote. I mean, that's what the article said. I'm assuming that they're correct there.
Well, I think the other really interesting thing about New Jersey was that their Senate president, Stephen Sweeney, who's the second most powerful political official in the state, lost. And who did he lose to? He lost to Edward Durr, who is a truck driver who spent $153 on his campaign. And I don't know if either of you saw his video. I really like his video. His video is pretty good. And it's very direct. And he looks like just an average guy. And he's saying, hey, we need a change. And people listen to him. And I just think that is absolutely what America is about right there. We don't need these people that have been in office forever, a la Joe Biden, that have been there just for their whole lives. Nancy Pelosi, name any number of them that are older than dirt there. And we got a truck driver in who's going to learn really quickly what he needs to do because, I mean, he got a big job there and you know, no experience whatsoever. But yet people just somehow felt that he was going to be better than this guy who's been in there forever. And I think that that's really, really great.
Yeah, absolutely. So George Norcross is a fundraising political powerhouse for the Dems in New Jersey. He's got ties to Pelosi, evidently, from what I'm reading. But he actually said, the Democrat caucuses are now realizing the voters are not asking, they're demanding change. And so he's in the position to be able to say, you know what I mean, kind of allocating the funds and the tide there. So they do see it. I think that the AOCs of the world double down. She came out and said we weren't crazy enough, right? Mm-hmm. But I think more serious politicians and seasoned professionals can read the tea leaves. And the problem is, I think it's too late. I don't think the Dems can't rebuild the fort at this late date for 2022. They would have to throw out all of their policies, go against everything Biden's doing, because these guys are, you know what I mean? It's the mandates, the vaccine mandates and the school choice. And I mean, the only thing Phil McMurray, I was trying to find out what he was running on. He raised minimum wage and legalized marijuana. You know, but he went out and called people that weren't getting the vaccine ultimate knuckleheads. So, you know, he kind of alienates a huge, without doing anything in his tenure to deal. They've got state debt problems and a really lousy credit rating in New Jersey. So, I think that these 12-year politicians like the Steve Sweeney guy, they are going to be challenged. It's not a shoe-in anymore. In these races. Oh, I'll tell you what, something else I read that was really interesting across the board in all these different states is the GOP, even after these races, has gotten more candidates coming forward than ever before. They've just really gotten their political clout has really kicked up the amount of people that are running and that are throwing their hat in the ring to get involved.
Oh, I think you got to credit Edward Durr with that for sure, because, you know, if he could do it, if he could make a statement, then why can't anybody else? There's so many smart people in this country. And I feel like most people who would be qualified for office haven't run in years and years and years, because who wants to subject themselves to that sort of, you know, that sort of poking and prodding and being exposed to the public and just taken down like that. So it doesn't seem like a very appealing job. But now I think people are starting to realize they don't, there's not a choice. It's like the people have to speak. And, you know, it was the people that just repudiated these policies that have been shoved down our throats and, you know, from the Democrats. And I think people have had enough. It's just enough. They're tired of being told that, you know, they can't go to work and they can't go to church and they can't go to school and they've got to wear masks everywhere. And I think people have had it. And so now, you know, I'm even seeing it where I live locally. I'm seeing people stepping up to run in local politics that you would have never heard of before. So it's definitely, I think Edward Durr sort of, he's a pioneer in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's a statistic. 84% of Trump voters showed up for Glenn Youngkin. And as you know, one of his main platforms was that he was a school choice advocate. So yeah, here, 850 GOP candidates have filed.
Well, in Arizona, in Virginia also, they gained from that because they gained other seats as well. So they gained the new district attorney. They gained there's another one who is a neophyte in politics by the name of A.C. Cordoza, who ran against what was her title? A woman in the House of Delegates. So Martha Mugler. And at this point in time, he's winning. So, you know, he had some coattails with him, and Virginia got a lot of benefit of that.
Yeah, there was the redistricting, and that's all from the census. The results from the census are causing all of these districts. We lost a seat in California, and Texas gained one. Here, interesting, North Carolina, their redistricting might give 11 of their 14 seats to the GOP, and Ohio could be 13 of 15. Some of these are redistricting policies that are going through right now or have just gone through, but it's going to all be timely for 2022. So people aren't, and what the article was talking about in regard to that is that folks aren't waiting to find out. They're throwing their hat in the ring already and starting to get in position, regardless of if it's going to be an existing incumbent that they're going to go against or, you know, new territory for them to run their campaigns in. So, and the fundraising has been out of the ballpark. I've been reading stuff about President Trump is just, you know, he's got a foundation now, so he doesn't have to report the same way a regular active campaign does. But there's been a lot of reports that his fundraising is going, you know, over the top. And in the same breath, the Democrat fundraising isn't showing anything significant. So they're just not energizing their base. I think that they're tired. They're horribly disappointed in the performance of Joe Biden, and rightly so. And they're just not showing up. I think they kind of got their tails between their legs trying to, except for the diehard extremists.
Do you think that Trump is the answer?
Well, I think that he certainly has a lot of the answers because he did it. Right? We saw how quickly he turned the Titanic around when he was in office with only one arm, right? The other arm, he was over here fighting off the press and Hillary Clinton's sabotage dossiers and all the rest of it that are only now starting to come to the surface, right? He was interviewed by Dan Bongino the other day on Dan's podcast. And it was, you know, of course, they're trashing Biden and talking about all the nightmares going on. But I loved it because one of the last things Trump said in that interview was, we fixed it before, we can fix it again, and we'll do it in twice the time this time. Right?
I believe that. And I, you know, he definitely, there's no question that Trump could get it done. But the hatred that was built up against him and you know, because of the media, to me, that it worries me that hatred is still there for him and that people would not vote for him because of that, because of his ways.
But we're getting indictments. We're getting indictments, and the covers are getting thrown back, and you know we're exposing the nastiness that was going on. And although I think a lot of people are gonna, one of my Democrat friends on my Facebook page just something about the Steele dossier. I had a meme of a Hillary caricature in black and white prison garb, being escorted by a character dressed like Trump, right? And so he was like, oh no, the Republicans funded the dossier. And of course, everybody used that company for their counter espionage, so to speak, for campaigning, right? Everybody does that. You gotta know what you're, right? Hold your enemies closer, whatever. Everyone has always done that. But so they were involved in that company, but the dossier was a completely separate project of that company that was funded by the Hillary campaign and exacerbated by FISA warrants and people pushing a false narrative, a fraudulent narrative. So I think as these things move forward, of course, the media is going to suppress the outcome of all these indictments. But we've got so many alternative media sources now. I think that there's probably going to be a good swath of people that are going to go, you know, yeah, he really did get the bad end of the stick. You can't compare what's gone on with Hunter Biden as the offspring of a sitting president with what Ivanka and, you know, the worst thing that the Trump boys did was years earlier, they went big game hunting, right? I mean, there's really, they tried their darnest to pin something on them, and it was nothing compared to what we've got on Hunter Biden.
And yet they ignore it. And I don't know if you've seen some of the pictures from his laptop, but they're absolutely child pornography. Hey, so I want to respond to two things that you said there, Jean. First, I want to say that on Long Island, Democrats had staggering losses up and down the ballot. So, you know, this is a traditionally blue area and Democrats lost everywhere. So that was great. I don't like every race that happened in the country, but I do want to answer your question about President Trump. And I agree with you in the way that he did get it done. When Trump first started running for president, I was not on board with him. But when he became president and he did what he did, there is no question that he was a guy who cared about this country above all else, who believed in Americans, who believed in the American dream, and he graciously and unselfishly wanted to give it to all Americans. You can't help but see that unless you want to be blind to it. And I still see every day the absolute most despicable vitriol on Twitter against President Trump. But Trump didn't do any of the things that they accused him of doing. And, you know, now that it's come out, which we knew it eventually would, and Durham is making, you know, arrests and indictments and things on the Russiagate part, at least. I mean, there are so many things. President Trump did an amazing job as president, despite everything that they tried to do to him. I would love to see him as a president without all of that going on. I don't know that that's possible, but he was absolutely lied about the entire time he was in office, not just by the media, but by the Democrats. And it was really, really despicable what he did. I would like to know if Hillary Clinton is going to get indicted, because she started this, she paid for it. They've already said that. And, you know, there was a meme out about one of the guys that got arrested and, you know, something about the fact that he's having to watch his back now in prison or wherever he is, because, you know, they're going to come and get him. But I don't think that President Trump had half a chance to do as much good as he could do, but I am in awe at the good that he did for our country. So Elisa, in answer to your question, there are other people I really like out there that would make great presidents. I want President Trump to come back. He has 4 years, and then let one of the other guys like Pompeo or DeSantis or somebody else become president after that. I'm fine with that. I think Trump deserves that after what he was put through.
Oh, agreed. I completely agree with that. You know, what bothered me about Trump, and I thought from the minute he announced he was running, I was 100% behind him, actually. I really liked him from the beginning, just because he thought out of the box. And he, you know, what bothered me about him was just the name calling and some of the, you know, just some, he made some silly mistakes, some egregious errors, unforced errors, I thought, and he didn't have to do that. He hurt himself in that way. But I mean, you have to look at it from the view of the fact that the entire media, how they just declared war on him from the minute they could never accept the fact that he beat Hillary. There was no way. So it was over for him the day he started with the media. But I agree with you. I'd love to see him come back. I just don't know if this country would be able to let him govern without those vicious attacks. I don't know if that would happen. You know,
I think it depends on what the content is of the Senate and the House.
Well, but look at what's happened in these years since what we've all gone through as the folks on the street, so to speak. CNN has lost massive numbers in viewership. No one tunes in. Their credibility has gone completely out the window. They're all seen as, it's not news, it's opinion. And people, you know, sign of people leaving as their audience share is indicative of that. And what's gained in the absence of that? Multiple podcasts, Newsmax, OAN, all of these alternatives in the relatively short period of time have really come up. And what's the highest rated show on Fox? The Five with crazy Greg Gutfeld. We love him because he just laughs in the face of the ridiculousness of these unsustainable policies that keep cranking out from the Dem machine. So people are tuning in and going, yeah, you know what? That's right. These people are nuts. And you can't go from filling up your tank for $40 to turning around in less than a year to $80 if you still have a job to drive to. You're hitting people right where they hurt, and they feel it. They know what's going on.
Well, so you know, I don't
know. They realize his successes, and they may have scoffed at all of it and danced along thinking it was no big deal that we were enjoying the raising in income, and they may have not felt that the deregulation, only the builders and the people in those sectors are going to really feel that. But there's a lot of other man on the street things that were being helped by Trump's policies. And now that they've been janked away so immediately, law and order being one of the main ones, people are realizing, oh, I guess leadership matters. And this is what happens when we have somebody who doesn't lead in the White House. You know?
I think the education situation also has put people on high alert. You know, once you start to bring the kids into the conversation, that's no matter what you are, no matter what party you are, that's going to get people going. That's going to get people riled up.
Yeah.
And you know, that whole education subject that has been going on. I mean, it's sort of just now bubbling up, you know, it has bubbled up now to the forefront, but it's been going on for a while. I mean, I saw this in my kids' school back in September of 20, you know, this had started in their schools with, you know, the privilege and the white supremacy and this and that, and, you know, the diversity and equity and inclusion nonsense, you know, that's been going on already for a while. It's not like it just happened in Virginia. And people are starting to realize this is a big problem. And this is indoctrination of our kids. And, you know, you cannot do that to kids, because let me tell you, you make these moms angry and they're going to go out and vote against you no matter what you are, no matter what party you are. So,
right. Yeah, absolutely. It was completely flew in the face of the tribalism that CRT perpetrates and what the Democratic Party has been trying to push down with racial disparity, dredging up all of this stuff. It doesn't ring through to the majority of American communities where people are living side by side and enjoying an even playing field, or, you know, for the most part. I mean, I'm not saying that there's certain sections that there's issues that exist. I personally think it has more to do with the socioeconomic than it does race. But, you know, nonetheless, COVID brought all of that to the surface because parents were starting to look over the shoulder of their kids at what was going on in these Zoom classrooms.
And it's about time that they did that. I've been saying this for 30 years since my kids were in school. I was saying the same thing, that we have big problems, and I've spoken out about it every chance that I got, but it was silence and nobody paid attention. And, you know, there's not much I thank God about because of COVID, right? But having parents look at what their kids are actually learning in school is one of those things that it has to be one of the silver linings, because it's so important and so critical. We also have a lot of parents that decided not to go back to work. In the election, there were a lot of school districts who got rid of their incumbents and they voted in new people. And in New Jersey, again, there was a high school grad, 19 years old, who won a board seat from the incumbent because his platform was that he suffered from the awful coronavirus rules, and he won. And this happened all over the country, but there's also places that it didn't happen. There are school boards where people should have been gone and they weren't. And I was very surprised. There was elections in Ohio on they can't legalize psychedelic drugs, but they basically authorize them in towns. Legalizing would take a whole different level of election. But they basically said, we're going to look the other way and you can take your psychedelic drugs. And I totally and absolutely 1,000% disagree with that, because the consequences of drugs have to do with so many other things. It has to do with healthcare. It has to do with burglaries. It has to do with crime. It has to do with all kinds of different things. And I just don't even know what Ohio was thinking with, you know, allowing a lot of these drugs. And there are places in the country that I'm just surprised how they voted. I was very pleased to see that most places, except my very own Austin here in Texas, voted not to defund their police. And it's kind of a misnomer, because Texas didn't vote to defund. What they did is the governor has already said in Texas that you may not defund the police. And if you do defund your police as a city, then you will be completely defunded from the state of Texas. So nobody's doing that in Texas. So nor was Austin. But what Austin did was they reduced some of their police, and they wanted on the ballot them to go back to 2 officers per 1,000 citizens. And the Austin electorate said, no, right now it's at like 1.5 something per 1,000 citizens. They wanted it just to go up to 2. I'm kind of shocked at that. But on the other hand, Austin in Texas is our Berkeley of your California there, Gene. It's uber, uber liberal. All these big companies are coming in from California, moving in there. And the consequences that we have in Austin are really, really bad. You know, the crime is going up, and that's that's not the normal case for Texas. So, you know, that was sad. But for the most part, I think that the election was really positive for Americans. And I think that we're going to carry that through to 2022.
I don't see how we couldn't with the wonderful popular unifying policies of the Democrats, right? Abolish police, tax breaks for the coastal elite, and what else? Toddler masking, right? Who, you know, I'm sure people are going to line up for all of that. It's, yeah, I don't get it, but yeah, they are kind of doubling down, and I don't see how they can turn the tide, just, you know, in less than a year out.
I'm excited to talk about a new product from Healthy Cell, AC11. This is a patented bioactive extract of Uncaria tomentosa from the Amazon rainforest. It supports cell DNA repair and health span. It's a dietary supplement. I'm excited to try it. Many are interested in longevity and attenuation of senescence. We know that telomere length and other biologic measures are related to senescence in clinical and preclinical studies, particularly of animal models. And I can tell you, as a doctor, dietary supplements do hold the promise of attenuating repair and damage in our body due to stress, physical wear and tear, sunlight, etc. And there's a tremendous opportunity for supplements to help us in this area. And so Healthy Cell has brought a product to market for you to try as part of your health portfolio. So please go to healthycell.com and in the promotional code, list out loud for 20% off your first purchase of products from Healthy Cell. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Oh, there was a time when Americans could rely on the Fourth Estate. Well, in these challenging times, the media is both reckless and complicit. AmericaOutloud.com. Top analysis from leading experts, articles, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Don't miss an episode of the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. Subscribe to the podcast. And for the latest news and inspiration, join us back at AmericaOutloud.com.
Welcome back to Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. And I am here today with Alisa Akron-Gold. And Alisa hails from Connecticut. And I'm here with Jean Llewellyn. And Jean is in California. I'm Linda Martinelli, and I am located in near San Antonio, Texas area. So we talked about the election, and I'm looking forward to seeing all of the results of that throughout the year before the next election. And I think the next election is going to be getting into high gear here pretty soon. I mean, we're over one, and now we've got the big one coming up in 2022. But still, the border is being completely ignored by the Democrats. I mean, it is completely ignored. And a couple of the things that really bother me about this, besides the fact that, well, you know what? Let me give you ladies some really interesting statistics that I have on the border, because this will knock your socks off. So, since Joe Biden became president, I'm just going to ask you a real quick question. Throw me a number. Alisa, how many illegal aliens do you think have come into the country since Joe Biden became president?
1.5 million.
Jean, how many do you think?
10 months, I don't know. I think it's closer. I don't think it's quite that high, but I think it's probably somewhere between 500,000 and 700,000.
Okay, so sit down, both of you. 3,476,564.
Oh, what?
Yes, and I'm not just smoking something funny here. This is provided by the Center for Immigration Studies, the Department of Homeland Security, and American Immigration Reform Institute for Defense Analysis out of Yale and MIT. Okay.
3.5 million?
Yes. The total number of illegal aliens in our country right now, 37,476,564. The amount of money that we have given to this problem of these illegal immigrants coming over the border thus far in 2021 is $339,203,522,560. That is as of yesterday. So this is a huge, huge problem. And here's the thing. In Joe Biden's infrastructure program, which 13 Republicans were kind enough to hand to him, are measures that allow these people to get back pay. Not, I'm talking about the 37 million that are in the country, for the child care credit all the way back to 1992. That will be cash money that is given to illegals in our country. There are measures in there to pay for their health care, to pay if they can get some sort of a tax ID. It doesn't have to be a social security number. They're not citizens, and they pay taxes, then they can be entitled to all of the same things that we are entitled to. So this is absolutely despicable. There are a lot of hidden nuggets in that infrastructure bill, and to have had 13 people vote for it, I can't even imagine. Alisa, you were mentioning a little earlier, and I want to hear your thoughts on it, about these children and illegals being flown around the country in the dead of night.
Well, I mean, my thoughts, I'm rendered speechless. I just cannot even believe that this is I heard somebody describe this as a government sponsored invasion, and literally that's what it is. It's they are to give these people money like that is, I don't even know how to describe my feelings towards that. I could get violent about it. I cannot believe that the taxpayers are footing the bill for these illegal immigrants to just come flowing into our country, and for the administration, the Biden administration, to take flights in the middle of the night. You know, they got caught flying them to Florida and flying them up to near where I live in Westchester County in New York. They got caught because the news media was watching them in the middle of the night. So now they're going to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and they're going to places in Virginia and all these other cities in the dead of night. And why isn't anyone saying anything about that? Why, how is that okay? We now have to educate the kids. They're going to show up in our emergency rooms in the hospitals. So we have to take care of them. We have to provide them health care. One of them already killed somebody in Florida. I don't know if you saw that. You know, there's already,
I did.
Yeah. And you know, I'm just outraged by this. I cannot believe that this is going on. What kind of policies are we running in this country? It's incredulous to me. Really is.
It's double too, because not only do we have the current situation and the money that, and I don't understand enough of it to how can he allocate funds so quickly to be compensating these groups of people when other things take so long to get funded. So I'm not clear what bucket he's dipping into in order to be handing out these checks. I don't understand that. But not only do we have that going on with this kind of immediate transaction that's happening, you know what I mean, as they check in, so to speak, but we also have federal funding going to sanctuary cities, of which, you know, here I am in California, because we're attracting, they may not be coming here. We don't hear about it because it's very locked down in the, you know, California communist regime over here. But they end up coming to sanctuary cities because there is no fear of, if DEA even in any city across the country, you know, I don't think they have any legs underneath them to, if someone's broken the law, to actually deport them because of their crimes. I don't know if that even happens anywhere. Sure, in the heck doesn't happen in California, but we get federal money as a sanctuary city to offset some of those costs because we educate and healthcare, and they're given state funding in food stamps, and it's not called food stamps anymore, but all of those programs are, many of them are available to people regardless of citizenship. And federal funding. So not only are you paying because of the current situation, but your this ongoing sanctuary city thing is also a drain on the federal coffers as well. So it's not sustainable. Anybody, I think, can see that. You know, where are these people going to work? We've mechanized a lot of these factory jobs. California, they just said you can't have gas-powered blowers. So I'm sure all of our gardeners out here who are working paycheck to paycheck, right, cash under the table, are going to run out and buy an electric-powered for their mow and blow business. I mean, it's just ridiculous to even think about. But you know, how many? Where are these people going to go and work? You've shut down the restaurants, so they can't work in that industry. Very limited. I don't understand what the thought process is.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, there are people begging for jobs in, you know, in the restaurant industry, and they can't find them. But you know, Elisa's point about this person in Florida who came in and identified himself as a juvenile, and he was not, just murdered a father of four in Florida. But I won't do it, but I could talk for 30 minutes about how many of these people are killing our citizens in different ways. There are numerous accounts of these illegals driving a car, not their car, because they don't have a car, but driving a car. They don't know our laws, of course. They just came over from Honduras or Nicaragua or Mexico or who knows where they came from. And they're driving and they are very, very, very drunk. And they ram into the back of a vehicle and they kill a five-year-old little girl, or they kill a father, or they have no money because now they've entered America. They don't have a job. They don't have any money. They're beholden to the cartels for what they still owe them. And they need to get some money. So people are being robbed. They're being burglarized. They're being beaten up. Is it all of them? No. It's enough of them to make us worry a lot about it. There are so many cases. And then you have to take into account the staggering amount of fentanyl that is coming over our open border. Is so far to date enough to kill every single person in the United States of America eight times over. That's how much fentanyl has come into this country. It is staggering. You can't have a country without a sovereign border. You don't have a country if you don't have a sovereign border. Why are we not rioting or peacefully rioting in this country and just really getting up in arms? And in Texas, I can tell you firsthand, I just was at a luncheon with our governor a few days ago. And the question was, Governor Abbott, why are you not doing anything about this? And he explains all the things that he's doing, but he also explains that every single time they do anything, the Biden administration sues the state of Texas. And we don't have unlimited funds here, unlike the federal government, to pay for all these lawsuits. He's got people down on the border arresting for trespassing in Texas, at least doing something. He's doing lots of things, but he gets sued every other day by the Biden administration.
It's not happenstance. This is an orchestrated,
yes,
thoughtful plan to ruin, to take away the sovereignty of the United States of America on the southern.
Why?
I mean, there's more restrictions on the Canadian side than there is on the southern border. It's ridiculous. You know, it really is just unfathomable. And then the thing that blows my mind is we've got all of these pieces of the wall, all of this construction materials that's sitting there that they've canceled all of these contracts, had to pay out oodles of money to get the wall pre-built, ready, prefabbed or whatever, ready to be erected down there, sits and rusts out in fields. It's a concentrated, purposeful campaign to deteriorate and demoralize the Border Patrol agents. And, I don't know why they can't. I mean, it's like a cry for vigilantes down there. I admire the Texas ranchers and the people on the border down there who have to deal with this every day and are decent people, not taking it into their own hands to eliminate some of this problem, because it would be horrible. Although, sadly, it might be very effective. You know what I mean? As far as deterring some of the huge amounts of people coming over the border.
Yeah, but I don't think so. I think the cartel is profiting so much that they would come in and kill the ranchers. That's my own thought.
I've heard reports about gunfights down there with them firing on the agents from the yes. other side of the border. It literally is a state of war. It's not against Mexico or Nicaragua or Colombia. It's against the cartel. And why you have to ask yourself, why aren't they up in the ante on this? It boggles the mind why it's being allowed to happen. The biggest fear, which you're pointing out, is that the vast majority are middle, from young, older teens to 30 something single men. And number one, they're leaving their home countries, abandoning their home countries, which is going to do horrible things for the economy and the jobs and everything in their native countries, but they come up here, and these are men, right? If there's no jobs for them to start a life and assimilate and do all the things that they try to tell you is the reason everybody's coming up here. If that's not available, what does that mean? That means it's either going to be, because they're young, right? So it's gangs. Sadly, drugs, alcohol, things that, because they're going to be demoralized
because they have to make money. And what easier way is to sell drugs?
Well, especially, or live on the street, it's so sad that they're being set up for failure because of this campaign. I just don't understand. They're not going to be active voters. They're going to be marginalized communities. Huge swath, not all of them, but huge swaths of these people coming over. How are they going to make it? They can't live. It's not sustainable to live on a government check forever. Maybe in California for a decade until we completely disintegrate out here. But for the most part, it's not sustainable. So these municipalities are not going to be able to keep footing the bill. Hospitals can't constantly give free health care to a huge population. They can't, they're not supposed to turn them away, but they'll go under because they won't be able to afford to stay open. And it boggles my mind that no one's looking down the road at all.
Not at all.
3 million people, and I wonder what the percentage of that is, these young men, that there's not going to be jobs for them.
It's it's really hard to understand what the thought process is behind that. I mean, I couldn't believe last week when Peter Ducey asked Biden about the $450,000 payment, Peter Ducey from Fox, and Biden said, you know, that who said that? We're not doing that. That's not happening. And then the next day, the deputy press secretary came out and said, oh yes, we are doing that. We are going to pay them. And Biden wasn't briefed about what was going on. And yes, Biden is perfectly comfortable with that. And that's what we're doing. And yet nobody can do anything. There's nothing we can do about it. They're giving more money to immigrants than they are to our Gold Star military families. I mean, it's outrageous to me. And what recourse is there? I mean, you have Governor Abbott saying that Biden, the administration, is suing him every time he tries to put a stop to this. I mean, if he can't do something about it, what can anyone do? Where, you know,
well, unless here's a hopeful thought. Unless these lawsuits are lost from the federal, because remember, there have been some that have been, you know, these mandates, you know, for example, I think it was the Supreme Court, wasn't it? They just ruled that the mandates were for the certain age groups or something. Where did I read this? That it was unconstitutional. So some of these cases are slowly crawling their way through the system. So if Abbott, even if he's the plaintiff or the defendant in this, if they do get their day in court and it's proven that the federal government is not protecting Texas on the southern border and that they are negligent in their duties to do that, then the feds owe the state of Texas reparations, right, to make up for that cost. And you know, it opens it up for the next phase, which is legislation or immigration reform to act upon the precedent set by the lawsuit. So as painfully slow to wait for those things to happen, I'm hopeful that the judicial system will crank through this and will have some decent outcomes. And we can thank the fact that there was how many 200 different judges that Trump was able to, he did a huge amount of conservative constitutional judges across at all different levels of the district of the court system. So those people are in play. Some of these cases are going to start being heard by them. And I think we'll be pleased with the outcomes. And hopefully we'll get some legislatures in that can act upon those precedents and start getting some reform in. You know, I mean, there's laws in effect now that the Biden administration is just blatantly not in choosing not to enforce and you know, and not pursuing at all. But I mean, I think that they're falling into some of that gray area because of the desperate need for immigration reform on these issues. But the Congress has got to get their act together and get something definitively done. Because
but they're not going to, Jean. They haven't done it for years. And,
well,
and it was
win,
it was their job.
If we turn, yes, and it didn't happen in the minute that we had the House and the Senate when Trump was in. You know, and again, by design, with all of the hoopla that was going on against him with the media and all of the lawsuits and all of this stuff that was going on, you know, he couldn't get anything done. If it's a different scenario, you know, could we be successful in the future? We have to say yes. Otherwise, we might as well throw in the towel and forget about it. There has to be trust and belief in our system to right some of these horrible blatant wrongs. What else can we do but be hopeful that the system will do its job, because our legislators or politicians aren't, but maybe the system will.
We've got to vote them out. I mean, that is the key. We have got to be smart enough to vote them out. I cannot imagine the scenario that we are in right now, that we have a president of the United States, a vice president, the leader of the House, the leader of the Senate, who are completely breaking the laws and define the Constitution of the United States of America. It's just beyond me. And they are going to keep doing everything that they're doing because nobody's stopping them. There needs to get a case in front of the Supreme Court. The Justice Department is not stopping it. Nobody's stopping it. And the Republicans don't have the votes to stop it. But you have all of those senators and all those congresspeople. And just because they have a D behind their name doesn't mean that they should be completely destroying the United States of America along with Joe Biden. I just don't understand how people that we elect can do this to all of us.
Couldn't agree with you more, Linda. We have to vote them out. That's the only answer. That's the only way out, as far as I can see. They have to be voted out. We got to get rid of the squad. These people have to go. This is not representative of what this country was built on. This is not who we are. And I think that people are really starting to worry that we're losing the country that we all know and love. And hopefully people are waking up. That's all I can say about it.
I think they are. I think they are in spades. I think what happened in Virginia and New Jersey and in some of these other races are absolutely indicative of that. I think the Dems have been put on notice by it. I don't think they've got enough time to right the ship. I think that it's going down. And most of the population is seeing the writing on the wall. And those that haven't will eventually, because like I said, this immigration situation is, no one's going to feel it for another 5 to 8, 7 years. It's going to start hitting home in half a dozen years or so, when these people can't get work and can't live on the dole anymore. It's going to either be a huge spike in homelessness, or they're going to turn around and go home and maybe take some of their lessons to rebuild their communities and their economies back home. Wouldn't that be a slice?
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.